This is Michael Johnson, and we have on the line with us today Kevin Hornbrink, who is the optimization product manager for the product WANjet over at F5 Networks. So welcome to the podcast, Kevin.
Well, thank you.
Now, today we're going to talk about some interesting things that have to do with how a business runs. We're going to talk about disaster recovery and continuity. Now, these are a couple of terms that we hear are RTO and RPO, and its importance to the continuity disaster recovery plan. Let's define what those terms are and explain how that works in this picture.
So the two terms, RTO and RPO, recovery time objective. And I'm going to use some sort of industry definitions that are pretty accepted by everybody. This is the maximum allowable downtime after an outage for recovering systems, applications, and functions. RTO provides the basis for developing cost-effective recovery strategies and effectively getting the resources up and working again and implementing these recovery strategies during a disaster situation. Typically, companies will measure in minutes to hours the downtime, their RTO and RPO. There was a recent study done by Forrester that talks about, in the event of a primary data center site failure, that 45% of North American respondents and 47% of European respondents could recover in less than in 5 hours or less. However, only a small percentage of those respondents, 8% North America and 7% in the European theater, could measure the recovery time in 120 minutes or less. Recovery point objective, is per the industry standard definition, defines how current or fresh the data is after a disaster. Recovery point, the RPO, is really the earliest point in time which systems and data must be recovered after an outage. RPO typically defines maximum amount of data that your organization is willing to sacrifice after a disaster. And a zero RPO business continuity solution can survive a disaster without any loss of data, and that typically tends to be very expensive. Another data point from a Forrester study, the same Forrester study, in the event of a primary data center site failure, there was as much as 55% of North American respondents and 59% of European respondents. They would lose about 5 hours of data or less. 28% of the North American respondents and 27% of the European respondents could measure their data loss in less than 120 minutes. So when you put these two together, RTO and RPO, they provide a measurable target for business continuity and disaster recovery solutions. Anytime you can improve the RTO and RPO, you're going to increase your investment in networking and storage technologies as a result. The physical distance between your data centers, typically, and how well your applications tolerate network latency, affect how close you're going to get to zero RPO. This is why you should limit your RTO and RPO to whatever levels your organization can tolerate from a cost perspective.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that cost and what's the impact of the WAN on those recovery objectives when we talk about that distance and how far out your network goes.
Okay. So a comprehensive disaster recovery solution typically requires an investment in multiple hardened recovery sites, duplicating the IT assets, such as your servers and your storage arrays, your networking equipment, and you typically do it at all these sites, and then having the replication software and the necessary bandwidth between these sites. Typically, the cost of bandwidth is often a significant component of the cost of disaster recovery solutions that rely on data replication between these sites. There was a Forrester survey that said 25% of North American enterprises and 26% of the European enterprises reported that cost of bandwidth was representing is between 20 and 30% of the total cost of data replication. And again, these are recurring monthly costs.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that network, the idea of the transport network. How does that affect your recovery objectives in the long run?
So the amount of bandwidth and the type of network transport selected, whether it's wavelength, SONIC, Ethernet, or IP, is really the key to achieving desired recovery objectives. Limiting the impact of latency to the business applications and increasing the distance between the sites. WAN connectivity issues such as latency, reliability, limited service options, and limited bandwidth make may make significant impacts in improving recovery objectives. And we're going to talk more about this as we go through this, I'm sure.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of those characteristics and break that down a little bit more, because I think it's, we kind of went over it kind of quickly, but I think that they're pretty important points.
Sure. So the inherent characteristics you're going to find on a WAN network are latency. This is typically caused by limits to the speed of light over distance. You're going to have packet loss, caused by signal degradation over the network medium, oversaturating network links, corrupting packets rejected in transit, or faulty network hardware. Network congestion, a big key point. Excess of lots of data on the network slows overall transmission speed, kind of like too many cars on the freeway. Actual bandwidth does not match the expected bandwidth, often due to a combination of the factors listed above, whether it's latency, packet loss, or network congestion. And of course, last is expensive bandwidth. Large pipes can incur significant monthly costs. Unfortunately, such factors as these can often cripple a DR plan. WAN links are often subject to variable congestion caused by other application traffic, file transfers, and even possibly other migration or recovery activities. This means your RPO and RTO that are met in minutes can now be completely unobtainable the next minute due to congestion. So heavy latency due perhaps to extended distances can prevent meeting RPOs and RTOs irrespective of how much bandwidth is used. So adding more bandwidth doesn't always solve all your problems.
Okay. Now, I know when people think about networks going down, sometimes they think, okay, you know, it's just time to take a toffee break, and you know, that's kind of what it is. But we're talking a lot more stuff is on the table here besides just lost revenue, just to things going down. What are some other key factors that are, you know, going to fuel that need to really improve your recovery capabilities of your business?
Sure. So it's also the cost associated with permanent customer loss and the ability of competitors to gain market share. So aside from the cost of downtime, additional drivers fueling the need to improve recovery capabilities are going to include increased risk, fiduciary responsibilities to your shareholders, competitiveness in the market, and of course regulatory like SOX and HIPAA are additional legal drivers. So based on recent events, especially here in North America, including terrorist attacks, blackouts, earthquakes, hurricanes, wildfires, and on, the perceived risk level is increasing among enterprises. So, and additionally, due to a significant number of corporate scandals that led to such government oversight and regulatory Sarbanes-Oxley, enterprises operate in a business environment of increased fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders, partners, and customers, and even their own employees.
Okay. Now, F5 is in the network business. Is there a WAN optimization appliance solution that you have?
Absolutely. The WAN optimization solution from F5 is the WANjet product. F5's WANjet is an appliance-based solution that uses compression, acceleration technologies to dramatically improve the speed of application traffic over the WAN. WANjet accelerates a wide variety of application traffic types, including data replication, which is the focus of this discussion, file transfer, email, client server applications, and others. WANjet also has some unique features that enable bandwidth to be efficiently allocated amongst different applications. We call it our quality of service, and thereby ensuring that the most critical traffic receives the priority access to the valuable bandwidth. You buy the bandwidth, a lot of cases, specifically for a particular application, and you want to make sure that that application gets its bandwidth.
Okay. So can WAN acceleration appliances like this actually help in achieving that goal that we were talking about before, that zero RPO?
Yes. WANjet appliances help to improve throughput. They also mitigate latency of existing networks through such techniques as its compression, our TDR data reduction, and transport protocol acceleration. Often the cost of deploying a WANjet appliance at each end of the link is less expensive than the cost of increasing bandwidth. Typically, these appliances can be particularly helpful for enterprises that want to use replication or remote backup between sites with limited bandwidth to the corporate data center.
So how is WANjet going to work in that formula to mitigate that latency?
In situations where the WAN is the bottleneck, WANjet mm-hmm. can improve the performance of synchronous and asynchronous replication solutions, which in turn can mitigate application latency and its performance impacts on applications.
Okay. Now, you also have the situation that, you know, they have enterprises that have some replication solutions in place between their data centers and other sites. Can the WAN jet support replication of more data with existing bandwidth as opposed to, say, adding more, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Traditionally, business applications like ERP, SCM, CRM, as well as messaging and collaborative applications such as email, these are going to continue to grow steadily each year. These are often the very applications that are supported with remote replication. The WAN jet appliance can help enterprises support the continued replication of these applications with existing bandwidth. WAN jet uses a QoS technique to guarantee and prioritize data replication over non-data replication applications, as we just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And can it also enable extending replication to other applications as well?
Due to the cost of replication, most enterprises are very selective about which applications they replicate and which ones they don't. Usually, they limit it to mission-critical apps. Today, there's no longer a one-to-one relationship between a business process and application. Business processes now rely on multiple applications, and to restore the entire process means that they're going to have to coordinate the recovery of the multiple apps. So customers are going to be very pleased to know that these apps that were once deemed only business critical as opposed to mission critical also require replication to another site.
That was F5 Network's Kevin Hohenbrink. This has been the first of a two-part series on data replication, disaster recovery, and business continuity. Join us next time right here on PodTech for part two of our conversation with Kevin Hohenbrink.